Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska will have to fill 10 school vacancies for the upcoming academic year. And when it comes to stories, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney with some local news on Thursday, February 18th, 2021. The Unalaska City School District will have to fill a total of 10 vacancies for the upcoming school year. According to Superintendent John Conwell, 8 teachers, the secretary registrar, and Eaglesview Elementary principal Chad Eichenlob have all submitted letters of resignation. The vacancies are equally split among the elementary and high schools. They include the alternative school teacher position held by Amy Perevserin, Jane Ruckman's position as a second grade teacher, and a kindergarten teaching position currently held by Wilma Adams, who has been teaching in the district for nearly 4 decades. Conwell said at a school board meeting last night that the district has already begun the process for interviewing teacher candidates. While much of Alaska has been bitterly cold this month, the Aleutian Islands and Alaska Peninsula have not only been not cold, but extraordinarily mild. And according to one climatologist, it's part of the recent warming pattern in the Bering Sea, and Unalaskans can expect a similar trend moving forward.
Because the oceans are warming and the climate of the Aleutians is so dominated by the oceans, unless the atmosphere does something particularly unusual, we're aiming for a warmer than what used to be considered normal February.
That's Rick Toman, a climatologist with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says much of mainland Alaska has been cooler than normal this month because of cold air coming out of northwest Canada or down from the high Arctic. But for the Alaska Peninsula and Aleutian Islands,
there really hasn't been a push of colder air from Siberia across the Bering Sea. And that's, of course, how the Aleutians can get their cold weather. And that just has been completely lacking so far in February.
Toman says at the Unalaska Airport, temperatures haven't gone below freezing yet this month. And in Cold Bay, the average temperature is running more than 8 degrees above normal, making this the second warmest start to February since World War II.
The only warmer start to February was in 2019, and the third warmest is 2018. So 3 of the last 4 years in Cold Bay, at least, have been exceptionally mild, far above normal. And that is undoubtedly related to the large-scale warming of the oceans that we've seen in recent years.
Toman added that in Unalaska, it's also been the rainiest start to February since 2004. So far, the island has recorded over 8 inches of rain this month, with 10 days still to go. The normal February precipitation for Unalaska is 6.5 inches. Meanwhile, the city reported 109 new cases of the coronavirus on the island yesterday. According to their statement, all of the new cases are industry-related, and the majority are from the outbreak at Alyeska Seafoods. Alyeska and their parent company, Westward, did not respond to a request for comment. When it comes to stories, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Local linguists are incorporating storytelling into their language revitalization efforts, giving elders a chance to create and tell stories in their native languages, and imparting that knowledge onto language learners. Joel Isaac, an artist and Dena'ina language professor with Kenai Peninsula College, spoke about that project at Tuesday's Alaska Native Studies Symposium, put on by the University of Alaska Anchorage. KDLL's Sabine Pooks was there.
He says a major key of the project was that elders should drive the language work.
And Dena'ina is, we have a very few number of first language speakers, around 5 or 6. And so what we've done, what we've striven to do is surround the elder who we're working with the support that she needs. And we need her to be able to be speaking every day. And for us as language learners that are as proficient, this gives her a way to talk with us and for us to listen, and then also a structure for how to teach students who want to learn language as well.
Dena'ina is a highly endangered language. For years, linguists and local Alaska Native people have been working on language and culture revitalization projects at KPC and through the Kenaitse tribe. Isaac apprentices with Helen Dick, a Dena'ina elder. Since COVID-19 hit, they've been Zooming daily to record Dena'ina stories. At first, they were translating other work from English to Dena'ina.
When we were first starting off the project, we were trying to figure out, like, how do we develop resources? And so we started out with the Dr. Seuss, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. And when we were doing this, I came across the verb to hop, which is niku nu il tlet. And that led us into a series of books that we would do.
They ended up creating a series of stories about a fictional Dena'ina girl whose name is Niku because she loves to hop. Some of their early stories had to do with animals.
And through this process of working with our elders, we realized that the anamorphic kind of bear or talking animals with the people and kind of the playful Dr. Seuss kind of early Western literature method is not how we talk about language and in Dena'ina.
Now they're creating stories based around prompts, like Niku going to the store with her family or having a potlatch.
For example, the berry picking story, you would tell that story when you're out berry picking. But when you're sitting in an office in Kenai and it's winter and you're not out berry picking, it's hard to do that kind of story creation. And so when we're telling the story about berry picking, then Helen's able to tell the traditional story that you would say in that context.
Some of the stories are ones Dick will tell about her own experiences.
It gives the framework to be able to talk about the things that we do in our lives. So every day we're recording these stories based upon what's happening in our lives.
They've amassed hundreds of stories and keep track of them in a table of contents, accompanied by detailed notes. They also work on breaking the pieces down and analyzing their grammar.
We're trying to not just take English syntax structure and put it into Dena'ina. We want it to be Dena'ina.
He says those cultural components are instrumental to the revitalization effort.
A big part of our language work is, where does language come from? Language is a response to place. It's the form of communication. And so this is why we have to do the language with the culture. They're not separate.
Isaac says they're working on compiling text for a storybook for children and early language learners. They're also compiling pieces on an interactive website. You can watch the symposium in its entirety on the Alaska Native Studies Facebook page. We'll link to that in the online version of this story. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
You can find that story and more at kdll.org. The federal government is moving ahead with a proposal to protect the habitat of two Arctic seals. Public hearings start next week and will be hosted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. After being delayed for almost a decade, the federal agency proposed what's called critical habitat designation last month in the Bering, Chukchi, and Beaufort Seas. Bearded and ringed seals were listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 2012 by the Obama administration. Though the species is still in relative abundance compared to other threatened species, long-term climate projections for the region forecast diminished sea ice, which the seals live off. The hearings are scheduled for Tuesday through Thursday, February 24th through 26th at 4 p.m. Anyone can submit their comments on the topic either by calling in during the hearings or submitting a written comment through the website. Call-in information for those who hope to provide public comments at one of the hearings is available on our website, kucb.org. The public comment period on the critical habitat ends on March 9th. The Department of Public Safety will be conducting a test of the city's tsunami siren system on Saturday at noon. The department wants to remind Unalaskans that sirens sounding during this time are for testing purposes only. And starting Monday, the Coast Guard will hold a virtual formal hearing to consider evidence related to the sinking of the Dutch harbor-based fishing vessel Scandies Rose. The boat sank on New Year's Eve of 2019 west of Kodiak Island while en route to fish for Pacific cod. Two fishermen were rescued wearing Gumby survival suits and a life raft. The other five crew members and their 130-foot crab boat were never found. The hearing will focus on the conditions before and at the time of the sinking. This will include weather, icing, fisheries, the boat's condition, owner and operator dynamics, the compliance record of the vessel, and testimony from the survivors and others. The hearing is scheduled to convene daily at 7 a.m. on weekdays, February 22nd through March 5th. To ensure public access and participation, the hearing will be streamed live each day, and the sessions will also be archived so the public can view them at a later time. To learn more, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Hope McKenney, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.